不少，早安。
Two months ago, I preached on Psalm 19. It touched on the subject of God's general revelation and His creation work.
两个月以前，我讲了诗篇的第十九篇，是关于神的普通启示和他创造的工作。
Since then, the subject of God's creation has occupied my mind leading up to today's sermon.
从那个时候起呢，神的创造就一直占据着我的脑海，导致我今天讲的信息。
I did a lot of research on this subject, and God provided me with excellent resources.
对于今天的主题呢，我做了很多的探讨，神也供应了我极为丰富的资料。
Today's sermon is on what is the purpose of God's creation and our existence. This is a very important and profound question.
那么今天的讲道是神创造世界和我们存在的目的是什么？这个是一个非常重要和深刻的问题。
From the scriptures we read this morning, most of you probably already know God did it for His glory, and this answer is correct.
从我们刚刚读到的经文中，大多数人可能已经意识到神的创造是为了他的荣耀，那么这个答案是没有错误的。
But the real meaning of this simple answer is much deeper than it seems.
但是这个简单答案的真正含义比看起来呢要深刻得多。
You may wonder if perhaps God was lonely and bored before the creation, so He designed and made a complicated and meaningful system to show off His creativity, His intelligence, and amuse Himself.
你可能会曾经想过，神在创世之前，他是不是觉得很孤独、很孤独、很无聊？于是他决定设计并且制造一个复杂并且有意义的系统来炫耀他自己的创造力以及他的智慧，并且自娱自乐。
You may also have wondered if God was lacking any glory, so He needed to make creatures to praise Him and glorify Himself.
你可能也想过，神是不是缺少了荣耀，所以他需要这个受造物来荣耀和赞美他。
The answer to this question is emphatically no.
那么这些问题的答案肯定是错的。
God is not alone. He is not bored. Because God is a triune God. And within the Godhead, there is immeasurable joy and love.
神呢并不孤单，他也并不无聊。他是三位一体的神，在三个位格中充满了无尽的爱和喜乐。
And God does not need to create creatures to give Him additional praise and glory, because His name is Al-Shaddai, which implies He is all sufficient.
那么神呢也不需要用受造物来添加他的荣耀和赞美，因为他的名字 Al-Shaddai 意指呢他是一位全备全足的神。
So, what was God's purpose in creating the world? And mankind.
那么神创造世界和人类究竟有什么目的呢？
We need experts who have sharp minds, who understand the Bible well, who knows God well, to give us a satisfactory answer.
我们需要拥有敏锐头脑，并且非常的了解明白圣经，而且真正认识神的专家来给我们一个满意的答案。
In this regard, I'm not qualified. To speak on this subject, so I won't be talking too much today.
在这个方面呢，我没有资格在这里就这个话题发言，所以我今天不会讲的太多。
But God does not disappoint us, and He has provided us with excellent, qualified people to preach on this subject.
但是神没有让我们失望，而是提供了非常优质的讲员来给我们提供答案。
So my role today will be a moderator and commentator.
所以我今天的角色就是一个主持人和一个解说员。
Our first speaker is Dr. Archie Sproul.
我们今天的第一位讲员是施普罗牧师博士。
Francis Bowles was an American Reformed theologian and ordained pastor in the Presbyterian Church in America. He was the founder and chairman of the Ligonier Ministries.
史普罗博士是一位美国改革宗神学家，也是美国长老会的牧师。他是林格尼尔福音事工的创始人和主席。
Francis Bowles was a gifted teacher and sought after speaker. He brought the Bible alive to his audience.
那史普罗博士是一位非常有天赋的圣经教师，他呢善于把圣经活泼生动的讲解给会众听。
The message we hear from him today is the image of God in man from a series that he preached called From Dust to Glory.
那么我们今天要听的呢是他一系列讲座中的一篇，题目就是从尘土到荣耀，里面第二课上帝在人里面的形象。
We will watch a 15-minute summary video from an original 25-minute message by Dr. Sproul.
我们下面要看15分钟的这个视频，是从史普罗牧师23分钟讲道中提取出来的。
The video comes in both English and Chinese versions.
这个视频里面既有中文也有英文。
Due to limited time, I can only play the Chinese version.But the English version has been sent out to congregations who do not understand Chinese.
由于时间的限制，我今天只播放中文版，但是英文版已经发给了听英文的会众。
Now let us listen to Dr. Sprague's message.
我们来先听第一个。
从尘土到荣耀，中间的道这个字令我感到好奇。从尘土到荣耀，这个我们经常讲到这个字，对不对啊？我们会说从 A 到 Z， 圣经也说从但到别是巴，这些都是例子。还有，当我们使用道这个字的时候呢，通常都是在讲一个目标或目的，我们是在描述某种动作，这动作有个起点在这里，也有个终点在那里。此外，在我们研究创世纪第一章的时候，旧约圣经的第一句话非常肯定地告诉我们说，时间与空间是有一个起点的，而在时空中有特定起点的事物是不断的在变动的，不只是行星照着轨道移动，连历史本身也是在变动的，向着某个预定好的目的地进展。在希伯来人的历史概念中，所谓的历史也就是因着上帝的创造行动而展开的历史，其目标和终点就在上帝的救赎目的之中。这个问题是在问原因 ，why？ 为什么创造世界？为什么创造人？为什么创造历史？都是为了要荣耀他。在这样的例子中，我们说为了或到的时候，其实是涉及了一个非常重要的观念，那就是目的的观念。你想想，我们所读的圣经每一页都在向我们揭示上帝创造你、创造我以及创造整个宇宙的目的。创世纪第一章二十 六节关于人类受造的记载中，我们看到这样的内容。上帝说，我们要照着我们的形象，按着我们的样式造人，使他们管理海里的鱼、空中的鸟、地上的牲畜和全地，并地上所爬的一切昆虫。上帝就照着自己的形象造人，乃是照着他的形象造男造女。有没有看到啊？就跟旧约圣经的第一节经文一样，这里也是在描述说，上帝的行动是有目的的。在上帝的神格当中有一场对话，在上帝的神格当中有一个协议，在上帝的神格当中有一个行动的计划，而是上帝亲自声明了这个行动的目的。他说，我们来做一件事，我们要照着我们的形象造人。因为圣经的第一句话，也就是起初上帝创造天地这句话呢，暗示着说，这个世界和当中的一切都不是偶然的，而是由一个超自然的存在者透过有秩序且有智慧的决定而创造出来的。而且这个存在者所做的一切都是有目的的。世人是怎么说的呢？世人说，我们都是几率和偶然的产物。有一位哲学家说，我们都是长大版的微生物而已，偶然从泥土中爬了出来。我们都是宇宙的意外产物。我们的存在本身并不具有目的呀。因此卡缪 Albert Camus 在20世纪中叶提出了这样的一个哲学观点，哲学家只剩一个严肃的问题要思考而已，那就是自杀的问题。因为既然我们无法回答自己存在的目的是什么，那我们就可以考虑自杀。一旦我相信自己的生命没有目的，相信历史没有目的，相信宇宙本身也没有目的，一旦我这样想，我就必须跟卡缪问一样的问题了。哈姆雷特是这样说的，活着好还是死了好？这值得深思啊。这就是16世纪英国文学家对人类存在的看法，说穿了就是认为人类的存在只不过是个偶然，你的生命只是一场意外啊。当今我们文化中的主流观点就是这样，对我们的孩子高声疾呼的，一天也不曾间断，你只是宇宙的意外产物，你只是长大了的微生物，你的存在没有意义，你的人生没有目的。
What Dr. Sproul just said is so true, because suicide is a serious problem today. According to CDC statisticsIt indicates that suicide is the 12th leading cause of death in America.
那么施普罗刚才说的很真实，因为今天呢，自杀是一个很严重的问题。CDC 的统计数据显示，自杀在美国死亡的原因中排名第12位。
Statistics also indicate that suicide rate is on a rapid rise among teenagers, even among preteens.
那么统计数据同样显示呢，青少年的自杀率正在迅速上升，甚至在青春期前也是如此。
I believe computers, technology, and artificial intelligence will display many jobs and make many people feel useless and lose purpose in life, giving rise to more suicide.
我相信计算机、高科技和人工智能将取代许多的工作岗位，使更多的人感到自己无用，失去生活的目标，从而导致自杀。
Let's continue with Dr. Spence's message.
万一我的存在是有目的的呢？万一在这残酷的命运之上，还有更高的主宰呢？这个不断回荡在文学界、影视界和每一种文化媒体当中的问题，就是目的的问题。我是谁？我为何存在？这个问题的答案就在第一章的结尾。上帝说，我们要造人，使人类得以存在的创造行动是一个永恒全知的存在者，以智慧做成的决定，他知道自己在做什么。我可以这样说，在我们这个时代，各种世界观之间的关键差别就在于这个问题：你的存在是有目的的，还是没有？假如上帝不存在，那我可以向你保证，答案是没有。假如没有目的，那上帝就不可能存在。但如果上帝存在，那生命就一定有目的。如果有目的，那上帝就必定是存在的，要照着我们的形象造人。于是圣经接着告诉我们人类的起源，而创世纪这里的用词对我们而言是有点难以理解的，因为经文告诉我们说，我们是照着上帝的形象和样式受造的。哇哦，上帝在初期的创造工作中创造了树木，创造了河流，创造了太阳，区隔了日夜，在水中造鱼，在空中造鸟，又创造各种不同的爬虫和走兽。然后他看着自己所造的一切，他便宣告了他的赐福，说这是好的。但是他的工作还没有达到巅峰，直到他说，在我创造了这一切生物、这一切动植物和这一切遍满宇宙的事物之后，我看了看，没有看到任何东西具有我的形象，具有我的样式。于是上帝说，我们要造一种生物，它存在的目的就是要做我的形象，我的样式。我要创造一种生物，我显然不可能创造另一个上帝，就连上帝也无法创造另外一个上帝，因为被创造出来的上帝就是受造物，是有限的，无法独立的，有来源的，受环境影响等等，所以这是上帝不能做的事情之一啊，他不能自我复制。我不能自我复制，但我要创造一种特殊的生物，它有特殊的能力，可以与我相像，它将具有我的形象，能够映照反映出我的荣耀，能够向其他一切受造物展示我的性情。对于这种生物，我要赐给他权柄治理万物，让世上一切事物，其余一切的受造物都臣服于这种具有我形象的受造物之下。 于是上帝就照着他的形象，按着他的样式创造了我们。这并不是说我们跟上帝一模一样，而是说有一些类似的地方，有些类比的存在。我们身为人类这种受造物，在某些方面是与上帝相像的。好几个世纪以来，许多哲学家和神学家一直在思考，所谓上帝的形象究竟是包含了哪些概念。学界普遍认为，上帝的形象至少有一个含义，那就是上帝是有智慧的存在，他是全知的，他会思考，他有知觉，他是有意识的。我们有上帝的形象，意思是说我们能够进行一些惊人的事情，像是思考、反省、抉择、学习、认识、推理。我们无法完全像上帝那样思考，我们不是全知的，我们的洞察力也不是无限的，完全不是，但确实有类似之处，有相似的地方。不止这样，身为按照他形象受造的生物，我们被创造为有道德的生物，想道德的受造物必须得先存在才行。所以当上帝创造我们的时候，他不只使我们成为有智慧的活物，能够思想，能够推理，他也给了我们意志，他给了我们情感，所以我们能够做抉择，能够从事涉及道德的行动。但是当上帝照着他的形象创造我们人类的时候呢，他赋予了我们人格，上帝也赋予了人类一个特殊能力，也就是映照和反映出上帝自己的荣耀。因为经文告诉我们说，整个创世的过程一共是七天，而在这七天当中，每一天都有一些不同且独特的事情发生。而犹太人最注重的日子从来都不是第六日，而一直都是第七日。所以最重要的日子就是第七日，第二重要的才是第六日。我们是在第几日受造的呢？不是在第七日，而是在第六日。因为第七日是神圣的，是圣洁的。我认为借由这个创造的行动，上帝是在对那些他的第六日创造的受造物传达某些事情，他是在告诉我们一些关于我们存在这目的的事，那就是身为按照上帝形象受造的人，你被创造是为了那神圣的目的，你被创造是为了那圣洁的目的，你被创造是为了要反映出他的荣耀。
We will skip the English.We thank God that Dr. Sproul's teaching is always enlightening, rich, clear, and easy to understand.
我们感谢神，史普伦牧师的讲道呢，总是富有启发性，内容丰富、清晰，而且容易明白。
But Dr. Sproul's video is just today's appetizer. We need to dig deeper into the meaning of this subject.
但是呢，史普伦牧师的视频只是今天的开胃菜。因为我们还需要更深入地挖掘这个主题的含义。
We need to know what is the glory of God.
我们需要明白什么是神的荣耀。
How does God glorify himself through his creation?
神是如何透过他的创造得着荣耀的？
What is the chief end of God's creation?
神创造的主要目的是什么？
For an in-depth study on this subject, we must turn to Jonathan Edwards.
为了深入研究这个主题，我们需要阅读乔纳森·爱德华兹的写作。
Jonathan Edwards was a Puritan theologian in the United States 300 years ago.
那么乔纳森·爱德华兹呢，是300年前的美国的一个新教徒牧师，他是布道家、哲学家和神学家。
He was also the third president of Princeton University. He was instrumental in starting the Great Awakening in the 1730s and 40s.
他同时也是普林斯顿大学的第三任校长。爱德华兹是1730和1740年代美国属灵大觉醒运动的主要发起人之一。
He is considered one of America's foremost and original theological theologians.
他被认为是美国最重要和最具原创性的哲学神学家之一。
A few years before he died, Jonathan Edwards worked out a very important theological work. He wrote a dissertation concerning the end for which God created the world.
在乔纳森·爱德华兹去世前几年，他完成了一篇非常重要的神学论文，关于神创造世界的目的。
Even today, almost 300 years later, Edwards' dissertation still captivates the minds of many theologians and Bible scholars.
即使呢，在差不多300年后的今天，爱德华兹的论文仍然吸引着许多神学家和圣经学者的思想。
Edwards' dissertation is important, yet difficult to understand, but we need to try to understand it anyway.
那他的论文非常的重要，但是不容易理解。我们仍然需要努力的去明白它。
One of those people captivated by Edwards' dissertation is Joel Whitney. He's president and professor of theology in Bethlehem.
College at Seminary in Minnesota. By Edward Hua's
论文Professor Whitney produced a 7-part video course on Edward's dissertation.
李格尼教授呢，制作了一个关于爱德华兹论文的7个部分的视频课程。
Yeah, this is his video course. Because we have limited time, we can only see part of the fourth course, which is the final answer.
旁边的这个就是7个课程的目录。那么因为我们时间有限，所以只允许我们观看第四部分课程的一些重要的亮点。
Because of our time constraint,I can only present short clips from Professor Whitney's video lesson.
因为时间原因呢，我只能播放李格尼教授视频课程的简短的片段。
And since the videos are in English only, we will give a short Chinese and English summary before or after each clip.
由于这个视频只有英文，那么我们会在每个片段之前或之后。做简短的中英文的摘要。
It appeared, well, this is what Jonathan ever said. It appeared that all that is ever spoken of in the scripture as an ultimate end of God's work is included in that one phrase, the glory of God.
他曾经这样说过，看来似乎圣经中说到的神一切工作的最终目的都包含在神的荣耀这句话里。
But what is the glory of God?
但是什么是神的荣耀呢？
Edward defines the glory of God in creation as an external overflow, exhibition, and communication of his eternal glory and fullness.
爱德华兹将神在创造中的荣耀定义为他内在的荣耀 和丰盛的外衣显示和传递。
Here's his simple answer, in section 7. It appears that all that is ever, that is ever spoken of in the scripture as an ultimate end of God's works is included in that one phrase, the glory of God. Okay. So why did God make the world? What's the end for which God created the world? The glory of God. That's the best phrase, the simplest, most often used biblical phrase. But he's not content to leave it there, as he's been this whole time, diving in. Now he's going to pull it together. What does this mean? What does it mean to say that the one end is the glory of God? The thing signified by that name, the glory of God, when spoken of as the supreme and ultimate end of the work of creation and of all God's works, what is that? What's signified by this term, the glory of God? It's the emanation, overflow. I've been using that as kind of my synonym for emanation, because emanation is a funny word. Overflow. And true external expression of God's internal glory and fullness. So what is the glory of God? It's the emanation, overflow, communication, the external expression of God's internal glory and fullness. And then you say, what's fullness? Well, meaning by fullness, what has already been explained, what we've been talking about for these last sessions. Or, in other words, what's signified by that name, the glory of God? God's internal glory, extant, outside, in a true and just exhibition, display, manifestation, existence, or external existence of it. So when we say God does things he created for his glory, what we mean is internal fullness out in public, outside of God, existing in an external expression.
How does God glorify himself through his creation?
神是如何透过他的创造来荣耀他自己的呢?
The overflow of God's internal glory produces an effect in people he created and have chosen, giving them the knowledge and understanding of himself, causing them to delight in him, esteem him,value him, enjoy him, and love him. In this way, the Creator is glorified.
神内在的荣耀的外溢，在他创造和拣选的人身上产生了效果，使他们认识神、理解神、尊荣神、享受神，以神为乐并爱慕他。这样，造物主就从他的创造物得着了荣耀。
It should be understood.In this process, the glory of God is both an outflow and an backflow. The glory shines upon and into the creature and is reflected back to the luminary.
我们应该明白的是，在这个过程中呢，神的荣耀既是溢出的，也是流回的。那么荣光照在和照入内造物的身上，然后又反射到发光体。
The light of glory come from God, belong to God, and return to God.
荣耀之光来自神，属于神，又回归神。
So all things are of God, in God, and to God. God is the beginning of things, the process of things, and the end of things.
所以呢，一切都出于神，在神里，也归于神。神是事情的开始，事情的过程。
The following is by Israel.
下面呢是李长老自己加的。
As Paul said, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, make its light shine in our heart, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And we, who with unveiled face, all reflect,The Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness, with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord.
那么，正如保罗在哥林多后书中所说的，那吩咐光从黑暗里照出来的神， 已经照在我们心里，叫我们得知神荣耀的光显在耶稣基督的面上。我们众人既然敞着脸，得以看见主的荣光，好像从镜子里反照，就变成主的形状，荣上加荣。
Glory is just that thing communicated, flowing forth ad extra as it formerly flowed forth ad intra. How do we get it this way? This is huge. In the creature's knowing, esteeming, loving, rejoicing in, and praising God, the glory of God is both exhibited and acknowledged. His fullness is received and returned.Here is both an emanation and remination. Edwards makes that word up, I think. Okay? He said, what's a remination? It's an emanation on the rebound. It's what the overflow looks like when it goes. So emanation is overflow going out. Remination is that overflow coming right back to God. It's from him, it's to him, and it's, or through him, and it's back to him. That's a remination. The refulgence shines upon and into the creature. It's not like you're passive here.Not like you're just kind of like this blank slate standing there as God kind of shines on you. No, he shines upon and into the creature and is reflected back to the luminary. The beams of glory come from God. There, he's the source. Are something of God. It's his own Holy Spirit coming to dwell in you. And are refunded back again to their original. The whole is of God, in God, to God. God is the beginning, the middle,In the end, in this affair.
There are multiple purposes in God's creation.
神的创造呢是具有多重目的的。
For example, a person goes out to the pharmacy to buy medicine for treatment.
举个例子呢，一个人出去药房啊，他要买药。
Going out to the pharmacy is his secondary purpose.
去药房是他的一个。
Buying and taking the medicine is his ultimate goal.
能够买到药，然后吃到这个药是他的终极目的。
But to be healed is his chief or main purpose.
但是他这个病要得医治呢，是他最主要的目的。
Edwards was looking for God's original chief end or chief purpose in his creation.
爱德华兹寻找的是神在创世之前的这个原本最主要的目的。
Edward saw from the Bible the triune God in glory before the creation, delighting in each other, loving each other, and united with each other in oneness and harmony.
爱德华兹从圣经中看到这个三位一体的神在创世以前是在荣耀中彼此喜悦，彼此相爱。在合一、和谐和一体当中的。
Professor Whitney used a diagram to show God's oneness in the Trinity before the creation, and draw in this diagram the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and between them in the circle is God's eternal glory.
那么，比格尼教授呢，用一张图显示了神在创造。之前在三位一体中的合一，那么大家可以看到这个图表上面有父子，啊，还有圣灵，那中间有一个圆圈，那么里面就是荣耀。
Then Edward saw from the high priest prayer of Jesus in John 17 before his crucifixion that God's chief purpose in creation is to bring those who has created, chosen, and redeemed.That is the church into his own life, into union with him.
然后呢，爱德华兹从约翰福音第十七章耶稣受难前大祭司的祷告中看到了神创造的至终主要的目的是将他所创造、所拣选和所救赎的人类，也就是教会，带进他自己的生命里面，与他联合。
Professor Whitney also showed in.This diagram, God's plan to add the church, that is the bride of Christ, to God's oneness in the Trinity. And you can see in this diagram, basically the same as the previous one, but with an addition, which is the body of Christ, the church.
那么李格尼教授在这个图表中呢，也展示了神的计划，将教会也就是基督的心腹加入了三位一体的中的合一当中。我们可以看到右下角这个图表跟上面的左上角的很像，但是这里面加了心腹教会。
The whole process of human history is to make this happen, and this is the chief end of God's creation.
人类历史的这个整个过程就是要达到这个目标，这就是神创造世界和人类的主要目的。
So what that means is something like this. I've been doing this kind of simple diagram with the triangle. Let me try to fill it out a little bit more. So you got the Father who knows himself in the Son. And then Father and Son together delight in each other by the Holy Spirit, as we talked about earlier with the Trinity. What Edwards is saying is this thing in here, he wants to call glory, internal fullness. And then this God creates a world, and that world has a history, and the whole point of that world is that you would get a creaturely expression of the same with a new addition, a nothing-based addition, a son and a bride. That's the end for which God created the world. Everything in history, everything right here, exists to make this happen. And we could spend a lot of time, what we didn't talk about, but what Edwards, this is part of what he would have unpacked, I think. He doesn't do it much here, but elsewhere in his writings. This whole thing, okay, this is a story in which we start off well, there's a fall, long period of darkness, and then cross right at the center, back up to that. That whole story with the cross at the center exists to make this happen. So that knowledge, love, and joy in God and of God comes to exist in this creaturely form. That's the end for which God created the world. And everything in your life ought to reflect it. Here at the end, I kind of waited to do this. I think that John 17 is the high point of Scripture. John 17, you have the Son of God in an extended prayer to the Father. The moment before he does the most important thing that he does in history, namely die on the cross and rise from the grave. I want to walk through the entire prayer, and I want your mind to be attuned to what we just Here's Jesus' prayer. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. What hour? Hour of his death, hour of his resurrection, center point of history, climax of history. That hour is here. What's supposed to happen in this hour? Notice, what's Jesus thinking about? Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Mutual glorification, Father and Son, is what's on Jesus' mind as he goes to the cross. Why'd Jesus go to the cross? So that he would be glorified and then glorify the Father in his glory. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Now, Father, watch this, glorify me in your own presence. Glorify me in your own presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed. Hear it? There's Edwards right there, right? The glory that existed before, Jesus says, glorify me with this here in the middle of history. Because that's what everything's been all about. It's this coming out, this being extended, this being given. Notice that, even that, the glory is something here that can be shared. Father has it and he shares it with the Son. I had it with you. That's one of Edwards' main insights, right? Glory is something that can be shared. Now we're going to get into the real deal. I don't ask for these only, meaning the disciples who are standing there with him, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Now, we often think of this as the unity prayer. Oh, let's let everybody get along. Right? That's a Christian should get along. Jesus prayed for that. And unity is a good point. That's a good part of this. But notice how Jesus explains it. He doesn't explain it in terms of mere unity. He goes deeper. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. So notice that phrase there, just as, that they may be one. And you say, Jesus, what do you mean that we might be one? Explain that. He says, well, it's like this. Like the way that the Father is in the Son and the Son is in the Father. That's the kind of oneness I'm talking about. It's the kind of oneness I want for my people. I want them to be just as the Father is in the Son and the Son is in the Father. That's the kind of oneness. That they may also be in us. The kind of oneness is us being brought into God in the way that the Father is in the Son and the Son is in the Father. The glory that you have given me. So earlier we said glory is something that can be shared. Now we see glory is something that can be given. The glory that you, Father, have given me, it's amazing. I think Edward's here for a minute. I have given to them. Jesus said, there's this glory that we have, that we share, that I had with you from before the foundation of the world. You've given it to me. I'm taking that. I'm giving it to them. They're getting it too. Why? So that they may be one, even as we are one. Explanation? I in them. And here's the deal on this, okay? Like, these little words, in, right? I in them, you in me, Father are in me, I in you. That little word in is just so pregnant. Like, how do we even have categories for what that means? But whatever it means, that kind of abiding in, resting in, delighting in, being in, whatever it means to be in God, to be united, that union would be a good word. To be have union with God in the way that husbands have union with wives, in the way parents have union with kids, in the way that friends have deep union. All of these are little pictures of that union. That fundamental father-son union, that they may be one even as we are one, I and them, you and me, that they may become perfectly one so that the world may know that you sent me. Watch this. And loved them even as you loved me. The very love that the Father has for the Son, He loves us with. That's the same love. Just like it's the same glory that the Father gives to the Son that's given to us, the same love that the Father has for the Son, we're loved with. The intensity of it. That's what's flowing out from infinite God's infinite fullness flowing to us. That love is coming to you, resting on you. And what's it doing? It's saying, I want to create the same kind of union I have in the Godhead with you. I want to extend it. I want to invite you in. Now look where it goes. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am. You've given me people. What do I want? What's Jesus' desire for you? I want them to be around me. I want them to be with me. I want them to be close to me. Why? To see my glory that you've given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. There it is, right? Well, the Father gave the Son glory because he loved him, because he delighted in it, because the baptism of Jesus, you are my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased, my spirit descends. That glory, because I want them to see my glory, the one that you've given to me, the one that we share, the one that I've given to them, I want them to see it. I will continue to make it known that the love with which you, Father, have loved me may be in them and I in them. Not only does God love you with the love he has for the Son, he puts the love that he has for the Son in you so that you love the Son the way he loves the Son. He loves you the way he loves the Son, and then he makes it so that you love the Son the way he loves the Son. You get pulled all the way in. This is the great privilege we have. We are being invited into the very life of the Creator God. That's why he made the world.
Well, I think with this explanation, it unraveled a big mystery in the Bible, at least for me.
我觉得刚才的这些短篇视频呢，是解开圣经中一个大的奥秘。
Does anyone know what big mystery I'm talking about?
那么你们当中有谁知道我是在说一个什么大奥秘吗
？Well, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says the union between a man and his wife is a joint into one flesh, and that it is a great mystery.
那么以弗所书第五章中说到，男子与妻子结合，二人成为一体，是极大的奥秘。
Why is it a great mystery?
为什么这个是一个极大的奥秘呢
？Then Paul explained that he was talking about oneness between Christ and the church.
然后保罗接下来解释说，他指的是基督和教会的联合。
Many of us know that the church is the bride of Christ.And she will be together with Christ, just like husband and wife. So why is it still a profound mystery?
那么我们当中许多人都知道，教会是基督的心腹，与基督在一起，就像夫妻一样。既然大家都知道，为什么这仍然是一个极大的奥秘呢
？We don't understand. We don't get it.
我们也不清楚，不明白。
Now think of this.
那我们现在先想一想这个问题。
Two join in one flesh.
二人一体。
Then think about this. Three join in one.
然后我们再思考一下三位一体。
You get it now?
那么现在大家明白了吗
？Paul is talking about the picture that possesses.Pastor Winnie just presented us in the video.
那保罗他所讲的呢，就是刚才我们在短片中看到的旁边的这个图表。
The Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
我们三位一体的神，圣父、圣子和圣灵。
And the Son and the Church, which is His bride, is joined together in one.
然后这个圣子和教会就是他的心腹是合而为一的。
In becoming one with Christ, the church is joining the triune God because Christ is in the Trinity.
教会与基督合而为一，就是加入了三位一体的神，因为基督是在三位一体中的神。
This is like marrying a prince and becoming part of the royal family.Except much more, we are talking about joining the Godhead.
那么这个就像嫁给了王子，就成为了王室的一员。但是我们在这里说及的呢，是与神格联合，这是无与伦比的。
It is a big privilege for us to be invited into the Godhead through union with Christ, and this is a profound mystery.
我们是借着基督被邀请进入神格中，这是极大的荣耀，这就是这个极大的奥秘。
Now all of a sudden, other mysteries and puzzling words in the Bible also become clear to us.
那么忽然之间，圣经中其他的奥秘和令人费解的话语也就变得清晰起来了。
For example, in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prayed thatGod would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation to enlighten our heart so that we may know the hope of his calling for us and the riches of God's glory among the saints.
那么举个例子，在以弗所一章中，保罗祈求神赐给我们智慧和启示的灵，照明我们心中的眼睛，使我们知道神呼召我们的盼望。并在他的圣徒中有何等丰盛的荣耀。
What God was saying is, you guys still don't get it. You guys still don't see it. You need God to enlighten you with the spirit of revelation.
那么这里面所讲的就是你们大家还是不清楚不明白，所以我们需要神来把这个荣耀放在我们当中，让我们能够清楚明白。
What is that glory and hope?
那么荣耀和盼望是什么呢
It is none other than what we just talked about, our hope of joining the Godhead through Christ.
就是我们刚刚所说过的，透过基督加入神格的盼望和荣耀。
Thank God for Jonathan Edwards' presentation. It is so enlightening. May everyone be blessed by his work.
那么我们要为乔纳森·爱德华兹这篇极具启发性的论文感谢神，愿每个人都能因此而蒙福。
We have come to the end of today's sermon.
现在就到了我这个讲到的末了。